Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. Little Alice fell down the hole, bumped her head, and bruised her soul. Welcome back, Cryptoconomy crew, to the Cryptoconomy Podcast with Guy Swan, your host, that's me. And we are going to have a really, really fun week here. We are hitting, as I mentioned last week, there's an episode on Citizen Bitcoin's podcast where they do a quick run-through version, essentially, of this entire Bitcoin lessons with Dirjiji. And you can find that on Dirjiji.com. That's where I'm going to read this because he's got a lot more. There's like a lot of quotes and stuff on his full page version of this that are not available on his 3-part Medium series. So I kind of went back and forth as to whether or not I should do the 3-part series on Medium or the 21 lessons like broken down on Dirjiji.com, and I figured I would just go with the one that matched Dirjiji.com, hit the preface, hit the whole thing in full, and just step us through this entire thing in audio. And I think if Dirjiji wants to use the audio, this would be a much better way to be able to break it up if he wants to do like an audio thing per piece. And this is all about falling down the Bitcoin rabbit hole and what Dirjiji has learned. And there's a lot of great lessons and a lot of great concepts and philosophy and economics, all this. It kind of hits the whole scope in like a very brief form of everything that you start learning as you fall down the rabbit hole. And I love the analogy of the whole rabbit hole thing. That's always just been so cool to me and a really fun meme in the Bitcoin space. And so without further ado, and this might not require a whole lot of commentary because I think this just is really fun standalone. Like, it's not like a dry reading or anything. It's just really, really interesting. And a huge thank you to Dirjiji for writing this up. And we're going to cover this whole thing on the podcast. I'm not 100% sure how many days it would take. This could take all week. It kind of depends on my time and kind of my set as we go through these next couple of days, because I do have a lot of other work that I'm trying to get done. So we will see exactly how long it will take to get through this week, but it's going to be a fun one. You're not going to want to miss it. This will be a great 3, 4, or maybe even 5 episodes back to back to just slam through and hear this entire piece by Dirjiji. All right. So without further ado, let's start the 21 lessons learned when tumbling down the Bitcoin rabbit hole.
Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?
Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to.
I don't much care where.
Then it doesn't matter which way you go.
Preface. Little Alice fell down the hole, bumped her head, and bruised her soul. Falling down the Bitcoin rabbit hole is a strange experience. Like many others, I feel like I have learned more in the last couple of years studying Bitcoin than I have during 2 decades of formal education. The following lessons are a distillation of what I've learned, first published as an article series titled What I've Learned from Bitcoin. What follows can be seen as a second edition of the original series. Like Bitcoin, these lessons aren't a static thing. I plan to work on them periodically, releasing updated versions and additional material in the future. Unlike Bitcoin, future versions of this project do not have to be backward compatible. Some lessons might be extended, others might be reworked or replaced. I hope that a future version will be something you can hold in your hands, but I don't want to promise anything just yet. Bitcoin is an inexhaustible teacher, which is why I do not claim that these lessons are all-encompassing or complete. They are a reflection of my personal journey down the rabbit hole. There are many more lessons to be learned, and every person will learn something different from entering the world of Bitcoin. I hope that you will find these lessons useful and that the process of learning them by reading won't be as arduous and painful as learning them firsthand. Introduction.
But I don't want to go among mad people, Alice remarked.
Oh, you can't help that, said the cat. We are all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad.
How do you know I'm mad? Said Alice.
You must be, said the cat, or you wouldn't have come here.
In October 2018, Arjun Balaji asked the innocuous question, "What have you learned from Bitcoin?" After trying to answer this question in a short tweet and failing miserably, I realized that the things I've learned are far too numerous to answer quickly, if at all. The things I've learned are obviously about Bitcoin, or at least related to it. However, while some of the inner workings of Bitcoin are explained, the following lessons are not an explanation of how Bitcoin works or what it is. They might, however, help to explore some of the things Bitcoin touches: philosophical questions, economic realities, and technological innovations. The 21 lessons are structured in bundles of 7, resulting in 3 chapters. Each chapter looks at Bitcoin through a different lens, extracting what lessons can be learned by inspecting this strange network from a different angle. Chapter 1 explores the philosophical teachings of Bitcoin, the interplay of immutability and change, the concept of true scarcity, Bitcoin's immaculate conception, the problem of identity, the contradiction of replication and locality, the power of free speech, and the limits of knowledge. Chapter 2 explores the economic teachings of Bitcoin, lessons about financial ignorance, inflation, value, money, and the history of money, fractional reserve banking, and how Bitcoin is reintroducing sound money in a sly, roundabout way. Chapter 3 explores some of the lessons learned by examining the technology of Bitcoin, why there is strength in numbers, reflections on trust, why telling time takes work, how moving slowly and not breaking things is a feature and not a bug, what Bitcoin's creation can tell us about privacy, why cypherpunks write code and not laws, and what metaphors might be useful to explore Bitcoin's future. Each lesson contains several quotes and links throughout the text. If I have explored an idea in more detail, you can find links to my related works in the Through the Looking Glass section. If you like to go deeper, links to the most relevant material are listed in the Down the Rabbit Hole section. Both can be found at the end of each lesson. Even though some prior knowledge about Bitcoin is beneficial, I hope that these lessons can be digested by any curious reader. While some relate to each other, each lesson should be able to stand on its own and can be read independently. I did my best to shy away from technical jargon, even though some domain-specific vocabulary is unavoidable. I hope that my writing serves as inspiration for others to dig beneath the surface and examine some of the deeper questions Bitcoin raises. My own inspiration came from a multitude of authors and content creators, to all of whom I am eternally grateful. Last but not least, my goal in writing this is not to convince you of anything. My goal is to make you think and show you that there is way more to Bitcoin than meets the eye. I can't even tell you what Bitcoin is or what Bitcoin will teach you. You will have to find that out for yourself.
After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Morpheus.
Chapter 1. Philosophy. The mouse looked at her rather inquisitively and seemed to her to wink with one of its little eyes, but it said nothing. Looking at Bitcoin superficially, one might conclude that it is slow, wasteful, unnecessarily redundant, and overly paranoid. Looking at Bitcoin inquisitively, one might find out that things are not as they seem at first glance. Bitcoin has a way of taking your assumptions and turning them on their heads. After a while, just when you are about to get comfortable again, Bitcoin will smash through the wall like a bull in a china shop and shatter your assumptions once more. Bitcoin is a child of many disciplines. Like blind monks examining an elephant, everyone who approaches this novel technology does so from a different angle, and everyone will come to different conclusions about the nature of the beast. The following lessons are about some of my assumptions which Bitcoin shattered, and the conclusions I arrived at. Philosophical questions of immutability, scarcity, locality, and identity are explored in the first four lessons. Lesson 5 explores how Bitcoin's origin story is not only fascinating, but absolutely essential for a leaderless system. The last two lessons of this chapter explore the power of free speech and the limits of our individual knowledge, reflected by the surprising depth of the Bitcoin rabbit hole. I hope that you will find the world of Bitcoin as educational, fascinating, and entertaining as I did and still do. I invite you to follow the white rabbit and explore the depths of this rabbit hole. Now hold on to your pocket watch, pop down, and enjoy the fall. Lesson 1. Immutability and change. I wonder if I've changed in the night. Let me think. Was I the same when I got up this morning? I almost think I can remember feeling a little different. But if I'm not the same, the next question is, who in the world am I? Ah, that's a great puzzle. Bitcoin is inherently hard to describe. It is a new thing, and any attempt to draw a comparison to previous concepts, be it by calling it digital gold or the Internet of Money, is bound to fall short of the whole. Whatever your favorite analogy might be, two aspects of Bitcoin are absolutely essential: decentralization and immutability. One way to think about Bitcoin is as an automated social contract. The software is just one piece of the puzzle, and hoping to change Bitcoin by changing the software is an exercise in futility. One would have to convince the rest of the network to adopt the changes, which is more a psychological effort than a software engineering one. The following might sound absurd at first, like so many other things in this space, but I believe that it was profoundly true nonetheless. You won't change Bitcoin, but Bitcoin will change you. Quote, Bitcoin will change us more than we will change it. End quote. Marty Bent. It took me a long time to realize the profundity of this. Since Bitcoin is just software and all of it is open source, you can simply change things at will, right? Wrong. Very wrong. Unsurprisingly, Bitcoin's creator knew this all too well. Quote, the nature of Bitcoin is such that once version 0.1 was released, the core design was set in stone for the rest of its lifetime. End quote. Satoshi Nakamoto. Many people have attempted to change Bitcoin's nature. So far, all of them have failed. While there is an endless sea of forks and altcoins, the Bitcoin network still does its thing, just as it did when the first node went online. The altcoins won't matter in the long run. The forks will eventually starve to death. Bitcoin is what matters. As long as our fundamental understanding of mathematics and/or physics doesn't change, the Bitcoin honey badger will continue to not care. Quote, Bitcoin is the first example of a new form of life. It lives and breathes on the internet. It lives because it can pay people to keep it alive. It can't be changed. It can't be argued with. It can't be tampered with. It can't be corrupted. It can't be stopped. If nuclear war destroyed half of our planet, it would continue to live uncorrupted. End quote. Ralph Merkel. The heartbeat of the Bitcoin network will outlast all of ours. Realizing the above changed me way more than the past blocks of the Bitcoin blockchain ever will. It changed my time preference, my understanding of economics, my political views, and so much more. Hell, it is even changing people's diets. If all of this sounds crazy to you, you're in good company. All of this is crazy, and yet it is happening. Bitcoin taught me that it won't change. I will. All right, let's take a break real quick, hit our sponsor, and we will come back. Lesson 2. The scarcity of scarcity.
That's quite enough. I hope I shan't grow any more.
In general, the advance of technology seems to make things more abundant. More and more people are able to enjoy what previously have been luxurious goods. Soon, we will all live like kings. Most of us already do. As Peter Diamandis wrote in Abundance, quote, "Technology is a resource-liberating mechanism. It can make the once scarce the now abundant," end quote. Bitcoin, and advanced technology in itself, breaks this trend and creates a new commodity which is truly scarce. Some even argue that it is one of the scarcest things in the universe. The supply can't be inflated no matter how much effort one chooses to expend towards creating more. Quote, "Only two things are genuinely scarce, time and Bitcoin," Saifedean Ammas. Paradoxically, it does so by a mechanism of copying. Transactions are broadcast, blocks are propagated, the distributed ledger is, well, you guessed it, distributed. All of these are just fancy words for copying. Heck, Bitcoin even copies itself onto as many computers as it can by incentivizing individual people to run full nodes and mine new blocks. All of this duplication wonderfully works together in a concerted effort to produce scarcity. In a time of abundance, Bitcoin taught me what real scarcity is. Lesson 3. Replication and locality. Next came an angry voice, the rapids. "Pat! Pat! Where are you?" Quantum mechanics aside, locality is a non-issue in the physical world. The question, quote, "Where is X?" can be answered in a meaningful way, no matter if X is a person or an object. In the digital world, the question of where is already a tricky one, but not impossible to answer. Where are your emails really? A bad answer would be the cloud, which is just someone else's computer. Still, if you wanted to track down every storage device which has your emails on it, you could, in theory, locate them. With Bitcoin, the question of where is really tricky. Where exactly are your bitcoins? Quote, "I opened my eyes, looked around, and asked the inevitable, the traditional, the lamentably hackneyed post-operative question, where am I?" End quote. Daniel Dennett. The problem is twofold. First, the distributed ledger is distributed by full replication, meaning the ledger is everywhere. Second, there are no bitcoins. Not only physically, but technically. Bitcoin keeps track of a set of unspent transaction outputs without ever having to refer to an entity which represents a Bitcoin. The existence of a Bitcoin is inferred by looking at the set of unspent transaction outputs and calling every entry with a 100 million base units a Bitcoin. Quote, "Where is it at this moment in transit? First, there are no Bitcoins. There just aren't. They don't exist. There are ledger entries in a ledger that's shared. They don't exist in any physical location. The ledger exists in every physical location, essentially. Geography doesn't make sense here. It is not going to help you figuring out your policy here." End quote. Peter van Valkenburg. So what do you actually own when you say, "I have a Bitcoin," if there are no Bitcoins? Well, remember all these strange words that you were forced to write down by the wallet you used? It turns out these magic words are what you own. A magic spell, which can be used to add some entries to the public ledger. The keys to move some bitcoins. This is why, for all intents and purposes, your private keys are your bitcoins. If you think I'm making all of this up, feel free to send me your private keys. Bitcoin taught me that locality is a tricky business. Lesson 4. The Problem of Identity. "Who are you?" said the caterpillar. Nick Carter, in an homage to Thomas Nagel's treatment of the same question in regards to a bat, wrote an excellent piece which discusses the following question. What is it like to be a Bitcoin? He brilliantly shows that open public blockchains in general, and Bitcoin in particular, suffer from the same conundrum as the ship of Theseus. Which Bitcoin is the real Bitcoin? Quote, consider just how little persistence Bitcoin's components have. The entire code base has been reworked, altered, and expanded such that it barely resembles its original version. The registry of who owns what, the ledger itself, is virtually the only persistent trait of the network. To be considered truly leaderless, you must surrender the easy solution of having an entity that can designate one chain as the legitimate one. End quote. Nick Carter. It seems like the advancement of technology keeps forcing us to take these philosophical questions seriously. Sooner or later, self-driving cars will be faced with real-world versions of the trolley problem, forcing them to make ethical decisions about whose lives do matter and whose do not. Cryptocurrencies, especially since the first contentious hard fork, force us to think about and agree upon the metaphysics of identity. Interestingly, the two biggest examples we have so far have led to two different answers. On August 1, 2017, Bitcoin split into two camps. The market decided that the unaltered chain is the original Bitcoin. 1 year earlier, on October 25, 2016, Ethereum split into two camps. The market decided that the altered chain is the original Ethereum. If properly decentralized, the questions posed by the ship of Theseus will have to be answered in perpetuity for as long as these networks of value transfer exist. Bitcoin taught me that decentralization contradicts identity. Lesson 5. An Immaculate Conception.
Their heads are gone, the soldiers shouted in reply.
Everyone loves a good origin story. The origin story of Bitcoin is a fascinating one, and the details of it are more important than one might think at first. Who is Satoshi Nakamoto? Was he one person or a group of people? Was he a she? A time-traveling alien or advanced AI? Outlandish theories aside, we will probably never know, and this is important. Satoshi chose to be anonymous. He planted the seed of Bitcoin. He stuck around for long enough to make sure the network wouldn't die in its infancy, and then he vanished. What might look like a weird anonymity stunt is actually crucial for a truly decentralized system. No centralized control, no centralized authority, no inventor, no one to prosecute, torture, blackmail, or extort. An immaculate conception of technology. One of the greatest things that Satoshi did was disappear. Jimmy Song. Since the birth of Bitcoin, thousands of other cryptocurrencies were created. None of these clones share its origin story. If you want to supersede Bitcoin, you will have to transcend its origin story. In a world of ideas, narratives dictate survival. Quote, gold was first fashioned into jewelry and used for barter over 7,000 years ago. Gold's captivating gleam led to it being considered a gift from the gods. End quote. Gold, the extraordinary metal. Like gold in ancient times, Bitcoin might be considered a gift from the gods. Unlike gold, Bitcoin's origins are all too human. And this time, we know who the gods of development and maintenance are. People all over the world, anonymous or not. Bitcoin taught me that narratives are important. Lesson 6. The Power of Free Speech.
I beg your pardon, said the mouse, frowning, but very politely. Did you speak?
Bitcoin is an idea which, in its current form, is the manifestation of a machinery purely powered by text. Every aspect of Bitcoin is text. The white paper is text. The software which is run by its nodes is text. The ledger is text. Transactions are text. Public and private keys are text. Every aspect of Bitcoin is text and thus equivalent to speech.
Quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. End quote. First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Although the final battle of the crypto wars has not yet been fought, it will be very difficult to criminalize an idea, let alone an idea which is based on the exchange of text messages. Every time a government tries to outlaw text or speech, we slip down a path of absurdity which inevitably leads to abominations like illegal numbers and illegal crimes. As long as there is a part of the world where speech is free, as in freedom, Bitcoin is unstoppable. Quote, there is no point in any Bitcoin transaction that Bitcoin ceases to be text. It is all text, all the time. Bitcoin is text. Bitcoin is speech. It cannot be regulated in a free country like the USA with guaranteed inalienable rights and a First Amendment that explicitly excludes the act of publishing from government oversight. End quote. Budion. Bitcoin taught me that in a free society, free speech and free software are unstoppable. Lesson 7. The Limits of Knowledge. Down, down, down. Would the fall never come to an end? Getting into Bitcoin is a humbling experience. I thought that I knew things. I thought that I was educated. I thought that I knew my computer science at the very least. I studied it for years, so I have to know everything about digital signatures, hashes, encryption, operational security, and networks, right? Wrong. Learning all the fundamentals which make Bitcoin work is hard. Understanding all of them deeply is borderline impossible. Quote, no one has found the bottom of the Bitcoin rabbit hole. End quote. Jameson Lopp. My list of books to read keeps expanding way quicker than I could possibly read them. The list of papers and articles to read is virtually endless. There are more podcasts on all of these topics than I could ever listen to. It truly is humbling. Further, Bitcoin is evolving, and it's almost impossible to stay up to date with the accelerating rate of innovation. The dust of the first layer hasn't even settled yet, and people have already built the second layer and are working on the third. Bitcoin taught me that I know very little about almost anything. It taught me that this rabbit hole is bottomless. Chapter 2. Economics. All right, let's close this one here. Again, this is all on dergigi.com. That's D-E-R-G-I-G-I. And this is his 21 lessons on Bitcoin. And we just went through chapter 1 of 3. I think it should be easy enough to get through each of them for the next couple of days, or next 2 days. And so this should be 2 days. But there's so much other stuff to dig into. I did not cover any of the down the rabbit hole and the there's a couple other sections. I'm right on. Let's go back to a previous one. I can't remember what the other one is. It's down the rabbit hole, through the looking glass. Got you. That's the other one. But he's got tons of other articles. One of them we actually should be hitting soon that he quoted in this previous lesson. And a ton of the articles are actually stuff that we have read on the show. The Magic Dust of Cryptography, which we hit very recently. That might have actually been towards the, it was like Thursday of last week. Why Bitcoin is Different by Jimmy Song. I know I've read that one. I can't remember if I did that one on the show. What Is It Like to Be a Bitcoin by Nick Carter. Where Am I by, no, I don't know that one. There's so many of these things linked that we literally have covered on the show. And a ton more coming up, as we continue through these lessons.
But there's so many other links. Abundance is The Future is Better Than You Think by Peter Diamandis. Presentation on the Bitcoin Standard by Saifedean. I mean, there's so many things to explore with this. There's episodes of Marty Bent's podcast, the Stefan Levera podcast. So if you want to dive deeper into each one of these lessons, there is plenty to continue to explore at dergigi.com. That's again, dergigi.com. And you'll find all of it up there. This is going to be a huge resource for people who are looking to get into Bitcoin. And hopefully this keeps, hopefully he keeps up to date and keeps updating and expanding these things, because there's some amazing stuff up here. And this is why we've read a couple by Dergigi already on the show. And we're covering all of this. So don't forget to check that stuff out. A lot of fun, awesome stuff to explore over there. There you can't drop applause on this unless you want. Oh, well, no, I guess you can. You can go to Medium and drop some applause on Medium if you want. But if you have not done so yet, Dergigi has the exact same tag on Twitter, and I will post a link to the page, and it's Dergigi's Twitter tag as well, so that you can follow and check out all the other stuff that he is doing over there. All right, so I actually don't have a lot to expand on today, and I'm a little low on time because there's a lot of other stuff that I want to get done, and so I am actually going to just close this here. We will be jumping into Chapter 2 tomorrow, and then hitting Chapter 3, and maybe I'll do a follow-up on all of this. There's so much to unpack here. It definitely deserves some commentary, so we will get into something here, and maybe I'll do a Guy's Take episode about my lessons and kind of some of the things that I feel like I've learned since being here, because it really is. It's true. Like when you first get into Bitcoin, you start to see, you just see these little things that you're like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, what a cool technology. And then you start going deeper and deeper, and you're like, holy crap, this is way more than I thought it was. And I love the whole problem of identity, the fact that locality and stuff, like where is Bitcoin and what is Bitcoin? Because you realize it's a set of the actual Bitcoin is somehow, it's a set of rules, but it's completely ethereal. It's completely abstract in that sense. It's defined by a set of text and code that's like written into software, but itself is not any one piece of the code. For the exact reason that it's not all of the computers. Like, we could lose half of the computers tomorrow that are running the Bitcoin code, but Bitcoin is not gone. Bitcoin realistically hasn't even changed in that instance. So you're immediately so what is it? It can't be the culmination of all the devices and computers, because you can't delete it. Like, it is defined as something else, something abstract from the code that actually makes it run. So it's a fascinating concept, and there's so much to unpack, and we will get to this. But for now, let's go ahead and just keep going through Dergigi's 21 lessons, and we will do that with Chapter 2 tomorrow. Don't forget to check out the website where this will be posted soon. And I'm not sure, I haven't talked to, did not talk to Dergigi again about this. So the audio for this may actually be available on his site at some point. I don't know. I think I mentioned it to him in a chat that I could try to break this down without the commentary or the intro or anything, just so that it can be listened to. Like, you could just hit play. But again, I'm not 100% sure if he wants to do that. And I know this will be updated and changed in the future. So, the audio might not line up with some of the lessons at some point in the future. So we'll see how that goes. I'll keep you guys updated and talk to Dergigi again after we post this. And with that, don't forget to subscribe to the Crypto Economy Podcast with Guy Swan. That is me, your host. This is where you will hear all about the cool stuff happening in the Bitcoin space. You will get to listen to the articles on all of the crazy stuff and looking at Bitcoin from every possible perspective, the philosophical, the economic, the historical, the technological, everything that you could possibly think and apply Bitcoin to, we will be talking about, discussing, and reading on this show. So this is where it will be. Don't forget to subscribe, share it out with all your friends in the Bitcoin and crypto economy space. Don't forget to tell them about me, Guy Swan, and I will catch you all back here tomorrow with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. Until then, take it easy, guys.